During those days that I was off for eye surgery, after a day or two of recovery, I went out every morning and went to the walking track because it was one of the few things they would let me do. And I would walk a couple of miles around the track. And while I was there, there were a lot of workers there, and most of them were women in green and white striped pants and white shirts that said MDOC Convict on the back. They were getting the park ready for the holiday events. And so they would be out there. I'm very aware of who they are. And I'm walking around the track, and I'm thinking, what do they think? That I have freedom to do anything I want, to go anywhere I want, and yet I choose to come out here and walk endlessly around the same track. I doubt that any of them really thought this, but what I projected onto them was that they were saying, you can do anything you want, and this is what you choose. Sometimes our freedom is something that we are not willing to take advantage of or full advantage of. I believe there is a parallel lesson in the Christian life where we have God-given free will, and with the gift of grace that we are given, we are freed from having to perform and to accomplish. We're freed from having to earn our way to something eternal. We're freed from having to fit in a society that dehumanizes, that fails to honor the divine above and the divine in the other person. We could be free of all that, and yet we stay in it all. This is what we choose to do with our freedom. We hear much in this season of Advent about John the Baptist. And I wonder if, as he sat in prison, he was thinking, this time will this Messiah really set us free? Or will we continue to do the things we have always done in the name of religion and still be trapped by ourselves and by our images and by our reputations and by our need for power? John the Baptist had seen plenty of religion in his time. He had seen the track. And he had seen all of those who go around and around it, who never found freedom. He had seen the legalists, the oppressors, the narrow-minded power seekers. It was all done in the name of religion. It kept people trapped in those ways. And yet, faith is supposed to set us free. John the Baptist had seen many, many people miss the point. And so it was natural for him to ask if this new expression of religion, the one seen in Jesus, would really be any different. Or had he given up his life for the same old track, the one where we speak of love but seek power instead? John the Baptist asked from his prison cell, "Are you the one? I have risked everything for what I hope is the real thing, but have I risked it for the same old track, the same old lack of conviction, even hypocrisy and self-righteousness?" And Jesus sent back word that this time things are different. This is true salvation, and it changes lives. The lame walk and the blind see, and the prisoners are set free. We are utterly free as followers of Christ, utterly free to be unlike the others, to act instead in a way that really changes our world for the better. We have that freedom, and yet this is what we choose, to keep doing the same things and playing along with all the rules that are imposed on us by our society. There is, after all, an insidious danger to routines, especially religious routines. If we're not careful, we can do our religious things and lose sight of what they're supposed to do for us in the first place. I worry sometimes that the ritual and the fitting in makes us complacent and afraid to do anything different from what others do. When we are baptized into Christ, we have freedom. And claiming our baptismal freedom means seeking something that is not the safe route in our culture. It is for us to get off the plain old, the regular old track, and to seek change and growth and holiness, no matter how uncomfortable they make us. With real freedom, if I really embraced the idea of my freedom in Christ, what would I do? I would push back against the status quo. I would value persons above things. I would value the invisible over the visible, because I would know that what God brings to me in the invisible will last, while everything I can see will not. God promises us that if we allow the old to pass away, God will fill us with the new. The old ways of hypocrisy and legalism can go away if we have the courage to let them go, and then the new is created in us. We actually live in freedom instead of being in bondage to the ways of our own culture. God promises, "I will free you from having to be like everyone else." I don't know about you, but I'm finding out as I age that I'm either freer or I'm more aware of my freedom. I care less and less about what other people think about me. I'm not sure that's a good thing, but it feels like a good thing. I think when we get older, we've circled the track enough times to know its deadly comfort and its deadly complacency. Its ability to convince us to seek what someone else has convinced us we should want. If we claim our freedom, we will no longer emphasize accomplishing and performing over embracing and relating. We will no longer let career fully dictate family life instead of the other way around. We will no longer hit back at others when we could forgive them and move on to wholeness and health for them and for ourselves. We can actively make peace instead of always creating conflict to feed our addiction to drama. Shane Claiborne has described peacemaking, one of the dimensions of our freedom, in this way. Peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice. The act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer. The act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressor free. We have the freedom to get off the track, to be different, not only from our own selves, our former selves, but the freedom to be different from the others who are on the track. It's okay not to be like everyone else. It's okay not to value what everyone else values. It is okay to be a peacemaker instead of an achiever. Ultimately, I believe that staying on the track and just doing the same old things over and over and over is the most dangerous choice in a way. It keeps us sure of ourselves. It keeps us arguing with our neighbors, Christian and non-Christian, and missing entirely the essence of God, which is to love in freedom. We are called to love other human beings, but we push them away, often by putting matters of doctrine or politics between us. We could be peacemakers. And yet we insist on criticizing others and on looking for reasons to be offended. God has given us great freedom, and this is what we choose. God offers love, and yet we continue to choose religion with the heart of God removed. All of these instincts and behaviors, which we ultimately find have no lasting substance, are on this track that we insist on walking, even when we have the freedom to go anywhere we want. We might as well be in prison. God has given us great freedom, and this is what we choose. Isn't it time to step off the track the rest of the world has so blindly and unlovingly chosen? Isn't it time to act lovingly, to be a peacemaker, to say, I can choose anything I want, and I choose the path that is uncomfortable and unpopular, but unspeakably holy? Isn't it time? Amen.